king's face become very soft.
Very soft. Then he said, what a pity. Disappointment. There. Again, you can find out the Buddha said, what he said, how he consoled this ruler. He said, this is a direct interpretation of the Pali Sutta, no need to recite. Some women are indeed better than men. Bring up a lot of men that make king. A woman produces a king. There are women who are wise, virtuous, who have high regard for mother or mother-in-law and who are chaste. That means good character. To such a noble wife may be born a valiant son, very clever, very talented son. A lord of realm, a king who can rule even the whole country, the whole world, who rule a kingdom. Now this is the way how the Buddha consoled this worried king when he heard that his queen had given birth to a baby girl. And these two things are more than enough for you to understand the Buddha's attitude towards women, how he regarded them, and his understanding about their problems, because he wanted to raise, to bring them up, to pave the way, because there was nobody else to give them helping hand to get up. The Buddha was the only religious teacher in human history, in this world, who has given this freedom to women. So the whether they are Buddhist or otherwise, each and every woman must give due credit to the Buddha, because he has opened the gates for them to come forward. But they have shown, they have proven that women are not fools. Formerly they never had the opportunity. Since the Buddha has given this opportunity, they use their common sense, intelligence, devotion, dedication, everything, and shown to others. They are not inferior. I can tell you one incident. A group of monks who wanted to practice meditation in a certain village. When an elderly lady came to know that there are two monks who like to stay there and carry on their meditation, this lady came and promised to look after, to attend to them and provide their requisites and invited them to remain. Then she also learned from these monks how to practice meditation. After learning from them, she practiced her own meditation at home. And these monks also have not yet attained higher stage. They are also beginners. So all are practicing this meditation. So what happened? This lady has attained the sainthood, not the highest one, attained sainthood before these monks attained it. Now what happened? She had developed that psychic power after gaining this sainthood to understand what others think. Mind reading. When these monks wanted to eat something, to drink something, or to take some medicine, the same day or the next day, this lady came and offered. So this had been going on for some time. Then this monk had a suspicion. How this lady come to know that we wanted to have it? We never told her. Then one day he asked, actually, how did you come to know that you'd like to have this or that? Then she told him, after learning meditation from you, I attained that sainthood. I can read, I can understand what others see. Then this monk felt, the shame. And this poor lady learned meditation from us. But still we could not gain anything, but she has attained faith. After that, they also used their full effort. Later, they too attained faith. This incident is more than enough for us to understand that they too can attain the sainthood, their liberation, or salvation, or moksha, or nirvana, or heaven, or whatever it may be, no difference whatsoever, man or woman. So the Buddha is the only teacher who has paved the way for them to show that they are capable enough. Another belief that they maintain that women cannot attain sainthood. Women cannot gain their final salvation or liberation unless they become men. That means the next birth. If women want to attain sainthood or salvation or nirvana, as women they cannot do that. Rebirth must take place as a male, not female. So the Buddha has rejected, refuted this belief, and women have proved that it is wrong. Then you can ask one question. When the Buddha's stepmother, Mahapadapati Gotami, approached the Buddha, requesting his permission to introduce nunnery system. First time, the Buddha has rejected it. Second time also she approached, rejected. Third time also approached, rejected. Then she is also very clever. She got hold of Venerable Ananda, the Buddha's personal attendant, and explained, you please go and tell him, I am the one who looked after him. 7 days after his birth, his mother died. I looked after him as his own mother. I have done everything for him. But I am requesting this permission, but still not granted. Can you please go and talk to him? So, Venerable Ananda, he approached the Buddha and explained. Then he said, all right. Under certain conditions, you can ask this question. If The Buddha has given full freedom for women to practice their religion. Why? The Buddha was reluctant to give permission at the beginning. And why? He wanted to give this permission under certain circumstances. Answer to this question is this. The common belief in India at that time that women are not capable enough to lead a holy life. So very, very strong. So at once, he did not want to revolutionize. General feeling. Another important point is for women to understand that this way of life is a very tough, very hard, very difficult life for a woman to carry. It is true. Because the situation of monk's life at that time was not like today. At that time, they had no proper shelter, no proper monastery for them to stay, and no proper food. Whole day and night they are going here and there, sleeping under the trees or roadside. They are mendicants. After their renunciation, they move freely. So man can lead this way of life, but not easy for a woman, for their security. And their physical body is not capable enough to stand, to carry this type of tough and hard life. And they are not capable enough to face a lot of challenges and competitions and criticism and disturbances which come from outside. These are the reasons why Buddha did not give permission at the beginning and allow them to understand the difficulties they had to undergo. When he said, and if they agree to observe certain conditions, I don't mind giving this permission. Then she said, yes, we are ready. Given that permission. And these conditions also not discrimination. These conditions that we have introduced for their precaution, for their protection, for their safeguard, to carry on their holy life without facing much difficulty. So they are not discriminated. When you read this one called Theri Gatha, Song of the Sisters, what they have uttered, how they have expressed their feeling, the peace, happiness, satisfaction, liberation, freedom in their life, after becoming nuns, through their renunciation. Enormous problems and miseries and worries and responsibilities, disturbances they had earlier, they say no more. Now, we really enjoy, we experience real peace in our life, which we never had before. This particular chapter explains, there was not a single lady. There were thousands of nuns at that time who wanted to go there. And Buddha did not discriminate. He had given them due credit. That means he appointed certain monks, certain nuns, certain laymen, and certain lay devotees, lady devotees, four groups, monks, nuns, laymen, laywomen, four groups. According to their knowledge, ability, skill, intelligence, they were given certain appointments, certain responsibilities. 80 of them in each group. 80 monks, 80 nuns, 80 laymen, 80 laywomen. And they are responsible for certain sections, just like teaching, preaching, and various other duties and obligations and responsibilities. So the women or the nuns were also given similar place, equal place in that community. Another important point is this. Even in the West, we think women are very advanced, but still they are fighting to gain ordination as nuns, to perform, to conduct religious services and prayers. Still they were not given this freedom. And women were not allowed to conduct religious services or prayers in the churches or certain other places of worship. But the Buddha has given this authority, this freedom to ladies to conduct any religious service or preach, explain the Dhamma. There were many occasions where Buddha has preached when he heard that particular nun has given this sermon to so and so. Then the Buddha says, excellent. This is the way how Buddha has given due credit to women without any discrimination.
So, according to these information, I think you can understand that women's position in Buddhism is unique. The common belief that many people had at that time regarding the mentality of women is this. No woman with two-finger wisdom, that means narrow-mindedness, could ever hope to reach those heights which are attained only by the sages. But after becoming nuns and developing their spiritual progress and attainment of sainthood, the women have answered in this way. When one's mind is well concentrated and wisdom never fails, does the fact of being a woman make any difference? Under the influence and dominance of the priestly caste, along with their priestcraft, animal sacrifices, and other ritualistic practices, new interpretations were given to the scriptures. Women came to be considered as greatly inferior to men, both physically and mentally. It was in the midst of such extreme social discrimination and degrading attitude towards women that the Buddha made his appearance in India. His teaching on the real nature of life and death, about karma and samskaric wandering, gave rise to considerable changes in the social attitude towards women in his days. The teachings of the Buddha had done a great deal to to wipe out many superstitious beliefs and meaningless rites and rituals, including animal sacrifices, from the minds of many people. When the true nature of life and death and the natural phenomena governing the universe were revealed to them, wisdom and understanding arose. This, in turn, helped to arrest and correct the prevailing social injustice and prejudices that were rampant against women in the days of the Buddha, thus enabling women to lead their own way of life. The order of nuns, which truly opened to women a new avenue of culture and social service and ample opportunities for public life. This had brought them to a recognition of their importance to society and greatly enhanced the status of women. The handicap and drawback under which a woman had to undergo in life were also clearly indicated. The suffering and agony to be borne by a woman in leaving her family after her marriage, and the difficulties and problems she had to encounter in trying to accommodate herself in a new environment were the trials and tribulations she had to bear. In addition to these problems, a woman is also subjected to physical pain and suffering during her menstrual period, pregnancy, and childbirth. These are natural phenomena depicting the differential handicaps and circumstances prevailing between a man and a woman. In the days of the Buddha, other religious teachers had also spoken on the duties and obligations of a wife towards her husband, stressing particularly on the duty of a woman or wife bearing an offspring for the husband, rendering faithful service and providing conjugal happiness and heavenly bliss. This view is also shared by Confucianism. However, although the duties of a wife towards the husband were laid down in the Confucianism and some other disciplinary code and various other religions, it did not stress the duties and obligations of the husband towards the wife. The teachings of the Buddha did not have such bias towards the husband. In the Sigalovada Sutra, the Buddha clearly mentioned the duties of a husband towards the wife and vice versa. Husband should be faithful, courteous, and not despised. It is the husband's duty to hand over authority to his wife and from time to time provide her with adornments. Women under Buddhism had the liberty to lead an independent life and go about their own business. The Buddha, by granting women an active share in the religious life, also helped to raise their status in secular life as well. However, The admissions of women into the order was a step too advanced for the period and became short-lived. Whenever an innovation or improvement was in advance of the thinking and development of a people, during a particular era, the people were unable to adapt themselves to the improved condition and tended to regress back to the society that they were used to. They failed to master the situation. Hostile propaganda by the Brahmins, who found their caste systems undermined and privileges giving way, was also a factor that caused the decline of the order. However, there is one thing that we have to single out. The special characteristic that women are inherited, it is their emotions. No one can deny it. Whether they are educated or not, this intrinsic temperament differentiates women from the man. When they are stubborn, without using their reason, they maintain that stubbornness, emotion. When they are soft-hearted, they accept many things without using their common sense. When they are devout, surrender themselves to any faith or belief or tradition through their emotional devotion without using any investigation. Because of this attitude, they easily become victims to others or some unscrupulous people. This may be the reason why religious authorities were reluctant to give them some responsibilities. Anyway, if they are properly trained and guided, the emotions that they use as weapon or weakness can be overcome.